shots in the pool. That is not cool. I need the tool. Take me to school. Feet first into this league. Me first. That cannot be. Under the underdog Monica G. Feeling a whole lot better suddenly. I get in with it. Winning again. You're 1-2 in the bag and I'm going for 3. That is the beat down. Got to the best so I keep. Now y'all treading water for weeks. Now I'm the shark so I eat. Now look, I am not sorry.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 188 of Dynasty Underdog. I'm your host, Jerai Dawkins. With me tonight, as usual, Billy Beeman. What's up, man?
When they say free agency frenzy, this is absolutely what they're talking about. And to be honest, I'm kind of happy to escape the JSN echo chamber for like 5 minutes. I feel like that's the only discussion I hear going around in the dynasty space right now. So this is welcome news. Before we get going, I do want to give a quick shout out to Ben Sinnott's dad. He gave us a follow on Twitter. He gave the Dynasty Underdog Twitter account a follow, and just love that kind of stuff, man. I love that we get to highlight these guys and the families. You know, they appreciate that kind of stuff. So try not to say bad stuff about players.
Nope.
Just trying to be, you know, it's all constructive criticism, but but I love that he enjoyed what we're putting out there. It's cool stuff.
That is very cool. Kind of always wish I had like one of the guys like I'm touting on there to like give me a follow just because like, hey man, I'm up here. I got the flag. I'm planting it for you. Let's go. And no, that's cool. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to waste no time. It's I kind of hate the term free agent frenzy because I feel like everybody uses that. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for all the, you know, dozens of podcasts to drop, you know, in the next day or two with the same exact title, free agent frenzy. It's like, but it is what it is, right? You know, everybody's got to talk about it. So,
yeah, friend of the show, Paul Patterson, Pure Potential. They dropped a free agency frenzy pod today. Everybody's doing it, but everybody's got unique takes, and we all got to talk about it.
All right, let's hop into it as fast as we can, get through these. And yeah, Tyler Lockett back with Seattle, $30 million over 2 years, $13 million guaranteed in 2024.
So we can't escape the JSN conversations, can we?
We can't, Lord. But I mean. I think it had a lot more to do with Lockett's contract. There's no reason for them to like release him, right? Or let him go. Like he's still playing at a very good level. Like he's still there. Yeah, we might have to wait on JSN really breaking out for another year. It is interesting, but we could talk about the ramifications for him later on. I'm sure you could find other people talking about it right now too.
Yeah, I don't want to wait another year. So I think it's kind of a team friendly thing, right? They want Lockett. He's been there a long time. I don't think they want to let him go. I think I heard a lot of Seahawks fans talking about how it would be a big hit in the locker room if he left, all those kind of things, you know, with his veteran presence. So I think it was more than just about the bringing like the talent on the field back. And I think we saw at the end of the year, you know, JSN kind of edging out more of a role. So I'm hoping that's what we see going forward, but yeah, the band's back together again.
Next one, Russell Wilson. We figured out where he went. You've been on top of this for a long time. Hey, Russ is starting. And I mean, he got moved very, very, very early on before other things started popping up. But Russell Wilson to the Steelers. I'll just say briefly, like, I mean, this is a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think for him, it's one of the better spots. We could probably put two together here and talk about Deontay Johnson being traded to the Carolina Panthers as well, because I do think that has an impact, right? We do want him with a solid cast of characters, talent around him that can elevate him. Like I've said before, I want him to be able to elevate them and vice versa. I do think George Pickens is the kind of player, you know, like a Cortland Sutton type guy, a you know, big body kind of guy that he's worked with before and worked well with. I think they'll do fine. And you know, Deontay leaving opens up, I think, some more for Pat Freiermuth, maybe some, you know, more for the running backs, but they're definitely going to draft a guy. But I do think losing a really secure, you know, stable option in Deontay Johnson, I mean, that's going to have an impact. Obviously he was a piece of the puzzle that we were interested in, or that, you know, was intriguing about Russell Wilson landing there. So him leaving, you know, there's a hole in my opinion. There's a little bit of a gap there now that he's gone, and I want to see how they fill that, because I don't think George Pickens is like every down stud. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they lost something in consistency with Deontay Johnson. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But it's, I think, one of the best spots, if not the best spot, that he could have landed in.
Yeah, you know, on the They'll draft a wide receiver. They've been good at doing that for as long as I've been paying attention. So something else will happen there, I'm sure of it. On the flip side, you know, this is good for Bryce Young. He finally has a wide receiver that knows how to get open.
Wow. I mean, Adam Thielen can do that too. He was just had one foot in the grave.
Yeah, he has a guy under the age of 30 that could get open.
Yeah, exactly. It is good for Bryce Young. I don't think it's great for Deontay Johnson in terms of fantasy. I guess until I see it, I'm not going to quite believe it with, you know, Carolina getting right that fast, though. I mean, it happens fast with some of these teams, but this is just one that it's a pretty deep hole to dig themselves out of. Last thing on Russ, though, do you think that Kenny Pickett has any chance to like outplay him in camp? Because I have heard like people kind of whispers about that, but I think Russ comes in here and takes it.
I don't. They're going to say it's a competition. Just with how much experience Russell Wilson has in the league, how many different looks, how many different defenses, how many different eras. There's no way that Pickett doesn't possess any type of physical attribute that's going to push him over the top. And there's absolutely no way he has the brain, the stuff between his ears that Russell Wilson does at this point in his career. So I just don't see it happening. Mac Jones lands in Jacksonville. I saw these stupid posts like that. End of an era. Like, Mac Jones wasn't in an era. Like, that was a, you know, field trip, if anything. But Mac Jones lands in Jacksonville. No, he's not going to start over Trevor Lawrence. He's nowhere near the level of Trevor Lawrence's skill set. But he is a good backup. And, I mean, I think Mac Jones will end up being one of the best backups in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that he's definitely a really good backup. I think he could get you through a game or two. And, you know, hopefully you don't ever need that with Trevor Lawrence, that's for sure. But, you know, he's with Doug Peterson, the QB whisperer, as they call him. So hopefully he's whispering sweet things into his ear. And maybe he can get get Mac Jones to improve from that rookie season we saw, which was pretty good. But yeah, I don't have much hope for Mac Jones.
Baker Mayfield. Yes, I love to hear this because I've stand for him ever since he came out. And yeah, is what it is. I've had egg on my face about it multiple times, but he played himself into a contract. You know, last year he barely played for peanuts. Took a pay cut when he went to Carolina. All these other things. He comes out with a good organization, has a really good year. They bring back Mike Evans and they give Baker a 3-year deal.
Yeah, he got the bag. It's awesome. I think, you know, with Mike Evans coming back, we talked about that a little bit on the last episode. You know, with Mike Evans coming back, I think this is a key piece to the puzzle for them to have continued success in terms of fantasy. I mean, Mike Evans is older, so having some consistency, a guy that we know that he can work with. We know, you know, almost any quarterback he can work with, but we know that Baker can feed him, will feed him. So Rashad White, like everybody is kind of a winner with Baker and Evans back in town, because losing either one of those guys would have, I think, had a seriously negative impact on the rest of the cast.
Kendrick Bourne, 3 years, $33 million. I guess the money, I don't really care about the money that much. It is what it is. Hope these guys get every penny they can. But Kendrick Bourne, back with the Patriots. So what's the wide receiver room there? It's Kendrick Bourne.
Juju.
Juju's gone?
No, he's under contract. We gave him like a 3-year deal. DeMario Douglas, who's, you know, talented enough, and they got to add somebody else to the wide receiver core. Maybe Calvin Ridley. We're hearing those kind of rumors. You know, I don't know. I mean, you got to get somebody in here, you know, a veteran presence, like a really true wide receiver one type guy. Now maybe Calvin Ridley is like on the fringe of that, but you need to get somebody in here if you're going to bring in a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May or anybody. I mean, you have Jacoby Brissett signed there, which is, you know, good news in terms of having that veteran presence, having somebody, you know, the rookie can lean on. Maybe they don't have to start him right away, which we've seen, you know, has a positive impact on a lot of these guys. So maybe we can ease somebody in, but one way or another, you cannot have him go out there and just have Hunter Henry as his like number one target again. It just, we can't keep doing this. And I like DeMario Douglas, but it's not enough. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's this, I, but sorry, we're on Kendrick Bourne. I don't like it. Like, I don't want him there. I want them to, like, I would rather, you know, just a whole new cast of characters that we're not, I know it's not that big of a deal. Like, I think it's like 20 million over 2 years and like 16 guaranteed or something. I don't even think it's that much, but that's not really the point. Like, he's just not that great and coming off a really significant injury. So I don't know.
This one's good news. Michael Pittman. I think they tagged him, and then during that time, I think they gave him the extension, 3 years, $71 million. Michael Pittman's going to be a Colt. I think this is fantastic for Anthony Richardson's development. If they're really, you know, trying to make that work, you want to have a guy like Pittman who's been around long enough. He deserves a second contract there, and yeah, wheels up. I really like this for Pittman. I like this for Anthony Richardson and the Colts in general.
Yeah, I think I'm just higher on Anthony Richardson as a passer in general than the community is. I'm not really too worried about Michael Pittman. You know, obviously it'll be maybe a little bit less of a target share than he was getting in terms of, you know, like from a guy like Gardner Minshew, who's just like tossing it up. But mm-hmm. I do think that these guys are going to be fine. So I think it's great news. I think it's great news that they are securing weapons for Anthony Richardson. You know, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, if they can add another one through the draft, maybe get a real tight end in there. Jonathan Taylor, he is surrounded by talent. So that's what you need to do to make these guys successful and keep them in town.
Absolutely. All right. This is kind of where some of the fun starts with the running backs. In all the years I've been paying attention to the NFL draft free agency, I've never seen anything quite like it. Not to this expense, especially with the running backs. You know, maybe this tells us the NFL is not so high on the rookie running backs, or maybe it's just because there was really a glut of free agent running backs. Normally you don't have a bunch of pretty talented, you know, 1,000-yard plus rushers under the age of 30 come available. And teams went out there and they took advantage of it. So Taylor Swift,
she is penetrated the NFL so greatly.
Cut that out. All right. DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift went to the Bears. 30 years, 24 mil.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I mean, it's good for me because I drafted Swift recently in a startup.
Sure.
And I do like him being on the Bears a whole lot more than I do him being on the Eagles. I just haven't really liked an Eagles running back since Shady McCoy. So
RIP Roschon Johnson, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't love this backfield. I think Khalil Herbert's still under contract. They also have Roschon Swift. Yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if they added another running back in the draft, which would be nauseating, but yeah, I don't love this. I don't think Swift has been great. We actually, me and Jake did a DU Debates episode talking about Swift, and I thought he should be lower in the rankings than where Jake had him. So clearly I'm a little bit lower on Swift in general. He is a little bit younger, but he's never been efficient. And yeah, I guess with Caleb Williams, it's enticing at some level, but what are you getting, like a year maybe out of him in Dynasty? I don't know. I don't love it. I'm not a big fan.
Tony Pollard reports that he might come back to the Cowboys on a team-friendly deal. Bullshit. Tony Pollard went to the Titans to join Tajay Spears. He got 3 years. He got the same deal. 3 years, 24 mil. I don't mind it. I mean, as long as Pollard is asked to split time more than he was this last year in Dallas, because that's where he really shines, and having another full year to recover from breaking his leg with the hip drop in the playoffs. I think he could be fantasy relevant for sure. Like a top 20 type player.
Yeah. Yeah. Top, I mean, I think it's gross back for both. Yeah. Not top 20 player. I hope not.
top 20 overall, running
back. Yeah. That's not happening. Sure. He's an RB2, but I mean, Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, I think both take a hit here. I'm not a big fan of this move either way. I think if you were hoping that Tajay Spears was going to be the lead back, that they wouldn't bring in a guy that has the pedigree of Tony Pollard, right? I mean, I'm not the biggest fan, but he's been pretty solid. He just had, what, 260 carries or something last year. Like, he can handle a load at some level. It won't be efficient, but he can handle a load at some level. And Tajay Spears, he's never done it. So this is going to eat away at his workload. Both these guys are back-to-back in KTC, running back 18 and 19, just behind Dalton Schultz, Josh Downs. I mean, it's not a terrible area for them still. Like rookie like Adonai Mitchell, I'd probably re-roll for one of the rookie picks. Like I said, Adonai Mitchell in here, 2025 early second after them. I mean, Tajay Spears is more intriguing, but this hurts them both, in my opinion.
Gabe Davis to the Jaguars. 3 years, $39 million. I mean, wheels up on Khalil Shakir. Don't trade him away for a fourth on accident.
You did do that. Oh, my goodness. Lesson learned there.
Let it be known, I wanted to do the opposite. But, yeah, I mean, this is probably good for Gabe Davis, you know.
You're like, what's it called? Ben Stiller and what's his name in Zoolander banging on the computer. That's you working with Sleeper. That's you working with Sleeper.
I have my bones to pick with Sleeper still, but I'm figuring it out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Gabe Davis to the Jaguars. I mean, he kind of provides a aspect at the wide receiver position that they didn't quite have as far as, you know, stretching the field a little bit, right? It's not going to be like a high target earning wide receiver there, I don't believe. I think he'll have a similar fantasy output that he did with the Bills, which is fine.
I probably agree with that. I think this is good news for a guy like Christian Kirk, unless they end up somehow bringing back Calvin Ridley as well, which seems slightly unlikely. But it, you know, you're hearing rumors of them trying to work him back in there, and I know that it's a timing thing with the compensation pick they have to give up for the trade with Atlanta and all that stuff. So we'll see what happens there. But for the time being, I mean, I think it's good news for Christian Kirk, because Gabe Davis is not a threat, in my opinion, whatsoever, to a guy like Christian Kirk. They just signed like another, I forgot, back end player for like $12 million over 2 years, and he's a wide receiver, but more of a special teams guy. So I don't know how much, my point is, I don't know how much more they're going to add to that wide receiver room.
No, I think, you know, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, that's solid enough.
Yeah, I mean, we have different opinions of solid, I think, because that grosses me out.
Like, for the actual NFL team, I think that's okay.
Maybe. Okay. It's definitely okay, but that's the definition of okay. You need more than that. And they definitely overpaid both Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis over the last 2 years, both these contracts. Not that we care about that, but I just feel like they should be getting more for Trevor Lawrence, bottom line.
Probably a lot of that has to do with like actually being able to bring free agents in. Like, I've seen a lot of the contracts going for Carolina. They've been a little bit higher than around the league, but it's going to, if you want to bring them in, you got to entice them to come to a place where like likely you might be a losing team, right? So I think there's some of that going on there.
Gabe Davis or a late 25 second?
If I had more than one Gabe Davis share, I'd probably go ahead and take the 25 second. If I didn't have any Gabe Davis.
Like, just take the 25 second and be fine. Happy with your life, bro.
It's even to me. I don't know. It's fine.
Oh, I would take the second and not worry about Gabe Davis being on my roster any longer and when I have to start him and when I don't. Like, if I was competing, I'd try to trade him for like Aaron Jones, Jacoby Myers, if I could somehow get over to that. I'm just looking at KTC, James Conner behind him. I think he's 24 years old. I get it. He's young, but he's young and inconsistent and just not that great. So yeah, I'd be looking to get out.
All right. Actual fun one that I think we should care about. Josh Jacobs goes to the Packers. 4 years, $48 million.
This one's super interesting. We've talked a lot about Josh Jacobs just because he was one of those 300 plus carry guys. And we don't love investing in 300 plus carry guys post that season, because we know that it's, you know, efficiency wise, it's definitely not getting better. Yeah, man. It seems like a great spot though, right? Like he's a dual threat guy. He seems like plus Aaron Jones in a way.
And at this point, it does seem like it.
Yeah, I kind of struggle with his value personally. I don't know exactly what like, if I'm a contender, would I be willing to give up a late first for Josh Jacobs? I guess so, right? Like, that's probably, yeah, I mean, 2024 late first is exactly what his value is in KTC. I wonder if you could trade Justin Fields straight for Josh Jacobs. That might be a move. Like, get out from under Justin Fields, who seems to be an absolute landmine right now.
Yeah, I have one share of Fields, and I'm just like, anytime I see anything about him, I just scroll past it. So I don't want to think about it. Okay, so we'll skip over here with the Packers signing Josh Jacobs. They released Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones gets picked up and goes to the Bengals.
Vikings.
Vikings.
Yes, that was Mixon went to the Bengals.
Mixon was on the Bengals.
I'm sorry. Jones went to the Vikings. Sorry. Mixon went to the Texans.
Yes. Okay, so anyways, yeah, Aaron Jones.
So much movement. What's happening?
I know. It's really hard. I saw, like, John Bosch, like, had mentioned, like, about trying to figure out and to remember where all these running backs went. Like, he said it doesn't matter. it probably doesn't matter, but we're doing our best here. I thought I had better notes. My bad. So, yeah, Aaron Jones goes to the Vikings, of all people.
Out of spite?
Yeah, I guess so. It's fine.
I dig the pettiness move, but there's been this weird thing just in general. I feel like when I was even in that analyst mock, or not analyst mock, when I was in that analyst draft in the middle of it, whoever picked Aaron Jones was like super stoked about it. And I'm like, I mean, even if you're contending, I get it, but he's 29 years old. Like, this guy has been banged up, and he was super productive last season. We were talking about this in the Discord with Paul a little bit, and I was saying, you know, his most productive games, every game over, I think, 13 or 14 fantasy points, he had 20 or more attempts. Like, is he going to be able to even do that anymore, let alone, like, wherever it is? It doesn't matter. Granted, the Vikings are a fairly good landing spot to do that if he's going to, right? Like, there's going to be work there for him, and there's probably going to be a rookie quarterback. And, they have Sam Darnold there now. It's a whole nightmare over there in Minnesota. But it just, a 29-year-old running back doesn't excite me. I rarely invest in 29-year-old running backs, no matter what. I do think he has some upside for sure, but I would like to turn him into an early second, mid second, and I'd be totally fine with that personally. Almost on any team, unless I desperately needed a running back in a zero hero running back build.
I agree. I think it's going to be, I don't believe the Minnesota offense is going to be nearly as good as it was with Cousins, for obvious reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do question the kind of amount of work he's going to end up getting. All right, Kirk Cousins goes to the Falcons for a bunch of money.
Yeah, I love this move.
It's great for us, because we've just been trying to get, like, Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts and Drake London, like, launched, right? We're like, we're like ground control. We're sitting there in the room, like, counting down. All right, like, we're ready. Do your thing. And it just, nothing ever takes off. Nothing ever takes off. So hopefully with Cousins kind of running the ship here,
mm-hmm.
wheels up, I mean, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add to that. Like, I agree with you. I think London is going to be the biggest beneficiary of Kirk Cousins being in town, but everybody is going to. He's going to get the ball to the running back. He's going to get the ball to the tight end, and we're going to find out if Kyle Pitts is legit, right? Like, Kyle Pitts definitely has to move up your rankings for sure. How high? Probably just a couple spots. I don't want to get too carried away with it. I think we still need to see it at some level, but you know, for those buying, this is super encouraging. Like, buying prior to Kirk Cousins being in town, this is super encouraging for Kyle Pitts. And I think that for me is going to be the most interesting part of 2024 in terms of the Falcons, is like, are we going to see a return to his rookie season plus touchdowns, you know? And that's the hope. So I want to see what we got there.
Back to the Vikings side real quick.
Mm.
Do you knock Justin Jefferson down?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, again, me and Jake challenged me about my CeeDee Lamb ranking, and fortunate for him, this happened, and CeeDee Lamb gets pushed up just naturally because, yeah, I think I have Justin Jefferson around wide receiver. I think I have him at wide receiver 3 right now because he has absolutely no quarterback to speak of, and I don't believe in Sam Darnold personally, though I do think he's QB proof. It's just a significant downgrade. I need to see them, you know, do something there at the quarterback position. And I don't, I'm not like a McCarthy believer. Maybe they add JJ McCarthy in the draft. I don't know. There's just a lot of moving parts to that. So yeah, I do think he gets moved down, you know, in terms of production. It's just not going to be the same as a guy like CeeDee Lamb, right? Like that's not going to happen, but he's not the only one that takes a hit. It's also Jordan Addison. It's also TJ Hockenson, right? Like TJ Hockenson is a guy who I think people were with Kirk Cousins around were touting as, you know, a tight end 1, 2, 3, 4, somewhere in that range, whatever you want, you know, depending on the day and the person. But now I don't think he's anywhere near that. Just the upside's not there. So yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks when it comes to Minnesota. Yeah, I think they need quarterback. I think they need competent quarterback play outside of Justin Jefferson, who certainly can get by, but at a lesser level than you know his elite heights that we've seen with a guy like Kirk Cousins.
Wide receiver converted running back Antonio Gibson heads on over to the Patriots for 3 years, $11.3 million as the in-house Patriots guy. How do you feel?
I'm not excited about it at all, but it's a fine move. And for fantasy, I mean, I don't love it. Like they already got a lead back there in Ramondre Stevenson. Like this is a worse situation for Antonio Gibson from a fantasy perspective, I feel like, than his previous situation was in Washington, right? Where he had Brian Robinson. I think more of Ramondre Stevenson personally. So yeah, no quarterback to speak of yet. Rookie quarterback. I mean, I guess he'll be somewhat of a security blanket type thing for him, but I think that'll be more of like a Hunter Henry role. So I don't really care about Antonio Gibson. If somebody is interested in buying him, I'd probably be selling him off of this news.
Next one I have here, Saquon. He ends up with the Eagles of all places. These like inner division trades, like I don't understand it. Like, but I mean, it's a business, right? Like if I worked for, I don't know, say Pepsi, and I was like a sales rep for Pepsi or whatever, like if I got a better offer from Coca-Cola, I just go there, even though we're like competitors. But like true fans are like I remember when DeMarco Murray went and left for the Eagles, and I was like, fuck that guy, how could he do that? But like it's just a business, right? It's just their job, so you can't get mad about it. But yeah, Saquon to the Eagles. Do you like Saquon now more or less than you did last year?
More. He's on a better team. Like it's not, you know, perfect situation. Obviously, the running backs aren't elevated necessarily by running quarterbacks. But I think just in general, it's a better situation than whatever the Giants are going to be this coming year, what they were last year. So yeah, I think it's a better situation for Saquon, who for some reason is like beefing with Tiki Barber. Yeah, who's the more loyal Giant? Who's the more loyal Giant? Which is like the most ridiculous conversation ever. But yeah, I think it's better for his dynasty value. But like honestly, this is a perfect time to sell him. He's an older running back. He's, you know, the wheels are going to fall off soon here. We're talking about Aaron Jones at 29. So I'm sure everybody, you know, what's not everybody, but I'm sure some people would scoff at me saying, you know, older running back, trade him. But I think this is like get out a year early rather than a year too late.
I fully agree. I think a lot of people view it the exact same way you do too. So I think that being able to trade away Saquon for something that he's worth right now, I think is actually available. I don't know if in a year you're going to be able to do it. Who knows?
Well, he's worth a 26 first right now, like an early 26 first. He's right around like the Jackson Smith. I mean, if you could turn him into T. Higgins right now, like you do that. In a second. That's kind of where he's around. If I can turn him into Mark Andrews, who's valued at tight end 7, just keeps moving down because the market's insane. I don't know what's wrong with you people, but yeah, if you can trade for a guy like that, if I could still get a first for Barkley and I'm not like ultra competitive, I mean, I might I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to find a way to do that. And stay afloat even if I'm competing, I guess. Because again, I don't want to be holding the bag on a guy like this. And he is going to be an up and down season, I feel like, in Philly, just because of, you know, the scheme and everything. We already saw like Swift, you know, the goal line touches, all that stuff. I don't know if it's going to be there necessarily, like it would be somewhere else.
All right, next one I really like. Gus Edwards, my boy. He goes to the Chargers, 2 years, $6.5 million. That's probably right. You know, he's going to go ahead and get his 700 yards and, you know, 7 touchdowns or whatever that he just does. Austin Eckler's out of there. So right now it's Gus Edwards. You have Isaiah Spiller, Josh Kelly. I'm sure they'll add somebody right now, but I'm just going to pin Gus in there as the touchdown stealing machine that he's going to be.
I mean, he's going to get plenty of touches. He's back with Greg Roman and another Harbaugh. Right. Like it's familiar territory. It's going to be a familiar scheme. So I think Gus Edwards is going to get plenty of work, especially they're going to bring a rookie in and obviously work those guys in tandem. I think the rookie is going to be the higher value option, long-term, but definitely Gus Edwards is worth something still somehow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can play it both ways, right? Like I think he's at a point where you could probably trade him away for whatever he's worth, like a third or something like that. Or you could trade for him for a third or something like that if you're like super contender and you need the depth or whatever. But I think my lean would be to get rid of him. So, news of him being like the pseudo starter right now is probably going to have a little bit, have him carrying a little bit more value.
The whole Greg Roman thing, I hadn't even put together on my own. Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting. Austin Eckler goes to the Commanders. The Commanders have signed like 30 free agents. That always works out for teams. So Austin Eckler, Commanders, 2 years. I didn't see the amount, but I can't imagine it's much more than 6.5 that Gus got.
I think it was like $8 million. I think
$8 million.
Yeah,
no, I don't care.
I mean, they replaced Antonio Gibson with Austin Eckler essentially, right? And I
with
think
older
it's...
Antonio Gibson.
No, don't do that to Austin Eckler. That's absolutely rude. That's super rude. Disrespectful to Austin Eckler, who I know that you believe he's washed, but I'm not really on that same wave. Personally, I think that he suffered injuries last season that really impacted his productivity, and also just with how the season went with Justin Herbert going down, how they kind of just like sat Keenan Allen, whether he was sat or sat himself, it definitely seemed like everybody kind of checked out. And I don't think that we were going to get the best of Austin Eckler at the end of the season, regardless. I think we could see a better version of him than we saw last year. It's not a bad situation for him, honestly, because I mean, Brian Robinson isn't the strongest competition for a guy like Eckler or a guy like who has Eckler's pedigree, past pedigree.
Zach Moss. This is actually pretty cool because what Zach Moss was able to do with Jonathan Taylor out, and one of us who were able to pick up Zach Moss off of waivers or still had him because nobody wanted him, really enjoyed what he was able to do for us last year. Pretty efficient, was able to take on a ton of work. He's heading to the Bengals. I mean, he's like the perfect Joe Mixon replacement, in my opinion. Like, this is good. I think he's going to get exactly the same amount of work that Mixon got for the most part. I don't see that they need or would want to bring in any type of running back. And I don't know if there's – I think the rookie running backs in this draft are – a lot of them are probably equivalent to what Zach Moss has on the field. So I like this one.
You're not excited about a Chase Brown?
Man, I want to be. Right, I want to be excited about Zach Evans. I want to be excited about Tank Bigsby. Like, yeah, I want to be.
Oh, but I think Chase Brown has shown more than those guys, and we should be more excited about Chase Brown. I mean, I like Zach Moss enough for sure. I think he's, I agree that he's kind of like Joe Mixon adjacent.
Kind of.
But I think Chase Brown at this point offers a lot more dynamic ability than a guy like Zach Moss, who for sure may be a little bit more steady between the tackles, especially at this point in his career. But Chase Brown going around, Devin Singletary, Rashid Shaheed range, 26 mid-second, late 25 second. I don't know. I mean, it could be getting a little expensive. Like, I'd like to move on from, like, Keaton Mitchell over to Chase Brown, maybe Jerome Ford, Chase Brown. I just think in that offense, it's a good role to have for Chase Brown. And last year he did show some flashes.
So you prefer to roster Chase Brown over Zach Moss?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew, the Minshew mania over to the Raiders. Like, this one is actually all these, I mean, there's some surprising ones. I mean, it's been kind of a roller coaster over the last 36 hours, 48 hours. But Minshew to the Raiders just didn't seem like, I never seen it talked about. I never seen anybody like, no rumors about it happening. And it just kind of happened. And I think it's great because he's going to be there potentially for now, at least. It's just him and AOC at the quarterback position. And I'm sorry, Minshew's just a better quarterback.
I think we're going to see him start some games there this season. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do in the draft here, but between him, I agree, between him and AOC, it's not really much of a competition, in my opinion. So, and also just given his contract, not that it's like starter money necessarily, but it's enough to I think, you know, make sure that he gets his fair look at the starting job. You know, given what we saw from him last season, I think he showed enough, and that's why they probably brought him in as a stopgap to whatever they're going to do maybe in 2025.
We're getting there. Mixon to the Texans. That's good. I know that they were looking – Texans have actually – they've done a lot of good stuff, I think, in free agency, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, bringing in D'Amico and what the kind of season they had last year with C.J. Stroud, like, you could see them kind of like, okay, we have this – young, very, very, very capable quarterback. Let's go out and spend some money and try to make this thing work. The signings they made on the defensive side of the ball have been really good, and they're bringing in a guy like Mixon. It's better than what they had last year.
It's so funny. I feel like I've like come over to the dark side, but like, because I've not been a Mixon guy. I used to be. It's funny. I remember one of my first articles was talking about how I thought Mixon was a top five dynasty running back like years and years ago. And then, you know, I obviously it's just he's lost that efficiency as his career has gone on, but I think this is a good spot for him. I think his value is low enough now where, I mean, it's him and Damian Pierce right now. Are they going to add too much more than that? I mean, Damian Pierce, they haven't loved him. So it's interesting. Like, he, you know, in that offense with CJ Stroud, with all the receivers they have, like, it could be a high powered offense. He could be pretty good again, and he could just live off touchdowns again. And I wouldn't be surprised if yeah, and that's fine. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, if they're looking for, at their offense and they're looking at, hey, you know, we did pretty good last year.
YouTube comments getting catching your eye. But Jake said maybe not a top five anymore, but he finished number six last year. Yeah, Mixon had a great finish last year. But I don't think you loved every game having him on your roster. But I don't know. Yeah, it's not a bad situation going from that team to Houston at all.
So they go from basically Singletary to Mixon. That's not bad. We didn't really talk about where Singletary went because I don't even remember, and it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, did he? I don't. He might be a free agent. I don't remember if he went anywhere.
I thought he did, but yeah, it doesn't matter. Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki to the Bengals. I actually like this. Like, so what? So say T. Higgins does get traded. Gesicki, the big slot wide receiver, a.k.a. tight end, as they want to call him, this dude legitimately could be second on the team in targets if T. Higgins is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that's where they're going to let this get to necessarily, because they're probably going to add one of these wide receivers from the draft as well, who's going to be solid. But I agree that this is a really good move in terms of scheme fit, right? Like, they don't need a guy who's going to be, you know, hand in the dirt necessarily. And they've been looking for a receiving option. Clearly, they were using like Tanner Hudson or whatever his name was last year. There's somebody else there, I forgot, but they were using, you know, some jag at the position. And I think that Gesicki is definitely an upgrade from what they had. So I could see him having some success this year. I mean, he's not my favorite guy, and he's not going to be on the field every play, but I think in that offense, he definitely has some upside. And our boy Devin Singletary, he went to the Giants. Of course, our resident Giants fan, Jake, would know that. Yeah, I mean, that's a fine landing spot for Singletary because he's definitely going to get work. Yeah, Irv Smith, Drew Sample, Tanner Hudson was the group of tight ends that they were rolling out for the Bengals last year. So I would say that Mike Gesicki is a pretty significant upgrade from that group in terms of what we've seen from his career. So yeah, I dig the move for that offense.
All right, a little bit more tight end news here. Hunter Henry, no longer a Patriot after he got the absolute bag from Bill Belichick back in 2020. 2021.
Wait, is he? Are you sure?
I think so.
No. Not Hunter Henry. No.
Are you sure?
I love this. It's King Henry.
Derrick Henry. I thought I saw Hunter Henry got signed somewhere too. So
no, he got signed to the Patriots. I was like, what are you talking about? Hunter Henry's a Patriot, dude. Okay, oh my goodness.
Sorry about that.
All right. Come back to our universe.
It was hard keeping up. I thought I did pretty good after all said and done here. Derrick Henry. Yes.
Viewers are leaving the stream.
Wait, that's
this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
I mean, if you're new here, my bad. But if you've been around, you understand.
Yeah, this is probably some of the biggest news. It's interesting news nonetheless.
Derrick Henry, I don't think he's, you know, he's not 2021 Derrick Henry, but he's still a good running back. He's older. Hopefully, this is totally kind of irrelevant. Maybe it's irrelevant, but like the Ravens have had really shit luck with running back health. Derrick Henry is not a young, spry running back, so I'm really questioning how well he's going to stay healthy there. But like you say, if all things are equal, having Derrick Henry in a Ravens offense, pretty sweet. I think this could be very good.
I mean, it on the face of it, it sounds good, but is it really a scheme fit given like what they want to do? Like knowing that when Henry's in the game, it's most likely a run play, and having, you know, the surprise of whether it's going to be Lamar or not running the ball, like, is that going to clash at all with kind of what they're trying to do? Is that going to make it easier for defenses to scheme against them? So I don't think it's like the perfect fit. He's 30 years old. He's not the epitome of health. You know, if they're going to run him, a ton again, which they may not need to, maybe they don't plan to, maybe they plan to use him as like a battering ram at the goal line and more, you know, I don't know what they plan on doing, but it doesn't seem like the perfect fit. Granted, they need a running back. They don't have Gus Edwards anymore. They have Keaton Mitchell coming off an injury. They don't have really anything there. Dalvin Cook experiment didn't work. So this is as good of an option as you're going to get coming out of free agency. Yeah, for sure. Just I question kind of how it's all going to work out in the end and what the usage is going to look like in this offense.
Derrick Henry, not Hunter.
To the Ravens, correct.
To the Ravens. All right. So let's hop into our prospect profile. Are there any other free agents that like you could think of off the top of your head that I didn't snag here?
No, my goodness, no. That made there's probably some news between the time we started this pod and now, but well, we can move on for sure and talk about it next week. That was I think we did. That's literally a free agency frenzy, bro. That was a lot.
All right, we'll hop into our prospect profiles.
Let's do it.
I will go first here again. Billy has tasked me with doing Adonai Mitchell versus Xavier Worthy, two Texas wide receivers, some differing traits here. So I will start with the fastest one. They're both very fast, but Xavier Worthy. So Xavier Worthy, 5'11", 165. He needs to eat some burgers. I'm surprised being in Texas, he didn't have more Whataburger, but he needs to put on a couple pounds. Broke the record at the combine. He ran a 4.21 40. Typically, I would say, hey, if you just fade the fastest wide receiver at the combine, like you're going to hit 100% of the time. They just never, ever, ever work out. But this guy, actually, I think he's a player. He played in college 3 years, three-year player. So he's technically early declared, three-year player, breakout age at 18. According to player profilers, college dominator, 34.2. PFF has him man. Yards per route run at 1.79. And zone, yards per out run at 2.44. A 10.3 ADOT, which is maybe a little bit lower than I would have assumed for a guy who's quick as him. But, I mean, this is good. 23.8% contested catch rate. Again, that's a thing I'm just kind of harping on this year. Everything I've seen, you kind of want that right around 20% or less. So that's not too bad. Yards after the catch per reception, 7.6, which is great, which means like, you know, he's not just catching the ball and getting tackled right away. He's got some wiggle in his step. He's got some a hitch in his moves. Slot rate is about 40% and out wide is about 60%. According to grindingthemocks.com, they have him an expected draft position of 31.2, which means right there at the back end of the first round. All in all, I do like Xavier Worthy, despite the fact he's the fastest wide receiver in the draft.
You're allowed to like him.
I do like him. I do like him, yes. His teammate, Adonai Mitchell, also fast as hell, but he's 6'2", 205. He ran a 4.3 40, three-year player again, breakout age of 21 years old, so it took him a little while to do what his teammate Xavier Worthy's been doing. Player Profiler's College Dominator is about 15%. PFF has him yards per route run to man at 1.08, which is not great. They have him zone yards per route run at 1.74, which is also not great. But I'm going to try my best not to harp on that, because I think Billy's probably going to like him on tape more than I like him in the sheets. 16-yard ADOT, which is really good. 36.4 contested catch rate. Now, I think a lot of that just has to do with where he plays on the field. It has a lot to do with the size he is. Like, he's going to be a guy that is going to get more contested catches because he is playing the role on the outside like that.
What was that percentage again?
36.4.
Yeah, that doesn't, I mean, I don't think it's that high, especially I'll get into it, but the QB play wasn't great either.
Yeah, and just for, I think, where he's probably playing on the field, that makes a little bit more sense than a guy like Xavier mm-hmm. Worthy. But still, it's higher than I want. Yards after the catch per reception is way down low, 3.2. So without watching the film, I can imagine a guy, 16-yard ADOT, 36.4% of his catches are contested catches, and he's lining up 18% in the slot, almost 82% wide. So I'm imagining him playing out wide at the X receiver, going downfield and going up and getting the ball with very little separation. And that's probably like the majority of his passes, right? He's not probably doing a whole lot of screens or short digs or anything like that. It's just no,
certainly case. Not doing screens or anything like that. But yeah, it's a little bit more diverse. I mean, he's not doing the stuff that Xavier Worthy is doing, where he's, you know, coming across the formation in motion and getting these short area targets and taking them, you know, downfield for however many yards. Yeah, he's not doing that.
But interestingly enough, on I'll finish here, is that Grinding the Mocks has the expected draft position of 29.6 to Xavier Worthy's 31.2, which means the way that these mocks are coming out right now, they have them basically back-to-back being selected just a couple picks apart. So I believe this will be the NFL pick your poison, what do you need for your team type deal. If I had to choose one, I would prefer to probably draft Xavier Worthy. What do you got?
I think that the profile is going to have a lot of people excited for Worthy. And I had to make sure that I went back and watched, you know, gave him a second watch, because there's some guys where, you know, you're just absolutely, you know exactly what you saw on tape and it's very clear. And I think with him, you know, it might be that, you know, just with so much speed and athleticism, it's hard to see how good of a route runner he is, because a lot of what he's doing is very, very quick. But I also think that it lacks a little bit of nuance because he's leaning on that athleticism sometimes. But just getting into it, I mean, the elite speed shows up on tape. Absolutely. He has excellent burst from the release through the stem at the top of the route. This is Xavier Worthy. So yeah, he exhibits manipulation movements and ability to manipulate space, but I think he lacks a diverse release package. He's really relying on speed, so it's mainly single moves or a speed release, something like that. But overall, you know, from the stem to the top of the route, you're seeing a lot more nuance than expected. He is putting on some moves in there, you know, some hip shifts, some rocker steps, but they come off almost short. Like, he's almost short stepping it and not really giving it the full move because of how quick he is sometimes, but he's always moving forward and he's not wasting any movement. So he does win off these moves a good deal. And he does deceive defenders a good deal with his route technique, which is a little bit more surprising to me. Generally, these you know, smaller guys who are super fast like this, they don't generally exhibit that as much. He's elusive, but I wouldn't describe him as elite in this regard. And when I'm talking about elusiveness, like for me, I'm talking about short area lateral agility, where you can just make a guy miss in a phone booth no matter what. And he does make guys miss, obviously. He's super quick. He can stop on a dime. But he doesn't exhibit that elite like wiggle, I would say. But he can create yards after the catch. You know, you see him high point balls and just burst away from defenders. You see him, you know, take good angles and get away from guys. So he absolutely offers a ton after the catch, definitely at an above average rate. The hands do leave something to be desired. You do see him drop some passes here and there. I think that this is one of the biggest differences between him and A.D. Mitchell, is Mitchell just has such reliable hands. I'm talking about, he's high pointing everything. I mean, off target passes, he's securing, bringing them in. It does contested catches, it doesn't really matter. So I do think that there's a pretty stark difference there with those two. Yeah, in general, I mean, I think I really like what I see out of Worthy. I didn't expect it. He's going to be higher in my rankings than I thought, maybe lower than most people have him. I think that in general, we as a podcast might be a little bit lower on Worthy with Jake and I. You might be a little bit higher, but we might weigh you down a little bit. we'll see how
I'm used to you guys bringing me down.
Okay, getting into AD Mitchell here. I mean, he's super smooth. The speed also shows up, but he just glides through the stem of his routes. He exhibits burst and explosiveness from the release and at the top of the route. He illustrates refined nuance, like definitely more than Worthy. And I was surprised to see it. I didn't think I was going to like either of these guys, but he's also using manipulation movements in his routes. And I'm talking about, you know, peak moves, shoulder fakes in the middle of his route before he's breaking. He's throwing on moves, trying to get guys to bite, whether it's, you know, for biting a deep route, biting a short route, whatever it is. He uses a lot of this in his game, and he has suddenness at the top of his route. You know, it's really hard for defenders to stick with him and creates a lot of separation. One thing I don't think he does great consistently is sink and cut. He runs a little tall. He runs his routes a little tall, and at times he'll bend his routes because of this instead of, you know, really digging down, getting low and cutting inside or cutting outside or wherever it is, which obviously is going to, you know, is intended to create a little bit more separation between them and the defender. So I think sometimes he lacks consistency in that regard. And then he also is just not very elusive after the catch. And that shows up for sure in the numbers. Like, it's very clear. And I think that's a big part of why the yards per route run is different, because Worthy is able to do so much more with his receptions after the catch. Whereas, you know, Mitchell had to rely a lot on his quarterback to make sure that he was, you know, getting him the ball, because he's not one to take it and then create something after the catch. He's relying on his quarterback to either throw him open, or he's relying on himself to get open and his quarterback to get him the ball. So I think that's one of the biggest differences in their game. Like, Mitchell can definitely run, but it's much more straight away. You see him get tackled by the first defender most of the time after the catch. So that's definitely one of his bigger weaknesses. And that's something that you want to see at the next level, right? You want that after the catchability. So I do think that Worthy edges him out in that regard. I really like what I see out of Mitchell, though. I think he's a really technically sound wide receiver, more than I thought he was going to be. When these guys are so gifted with this athleticism, I do think they tend to lean on it a little bit too much. And that is something that they need to clean up at the next level. So I think both of these guys suffer from that a little bit. And I don't know why these guys like Worthy are tough for me to really get on the same page as the rest of the community. And I'm not like artificially like trying to push myself up or push the grade up, but I'm trying to be really fair with it and with what I see. And he's a lot better of a route runner than I expected. So I guess I'll leave it at that.
Mike Williams, a good comp for Adonai Mitchell?
No, I think he's a better route runner.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he's as like, I don't think he's just this contested catch guy that the numbers may make him out to be. You know, I didn't get into it much, but Quinn Ewers was absolutely pathetic in a lot of the game situations I watched. Like, there's some plays where he's throwing the ball into the stands over wide open AD Mitchell. It's not all, you know, AD being just like downfield and can't separate. Like, he absolutely can separate. And I actually just recorded the film room today. I'll be cutting it up and I'll put that out soon so people can see a little bit what I'm talking about. But it's not consistent with AD as much as you'd like it to be. But I mean, the flashes are there and the flashes are great and the technique is serious. But Worthy definitely seems to put it all together a little bit better. And he's also just like a freak of nature athlete. The size is one thing, but I don't think we should be caring about the size so much when we've seen Tank Dell, when we've seen, you know, Smith, when we've seen all these guys be successful. I think, you know, I'm not going to allow that to be a significant factor in the profile when everything else is pointing to success. And you see our DU ranking, we are a little bit lower on these guys. We haven't completely refined our rookie rankings yet. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but that's why we have the ADP and the KTC rank there. But we are going to probably end up slightly lower. Like I said, I probably will be slightly lower than the community, but I'll probably try to work in a few shares because I like what I see from Worthy. It's just, it's one of those that I just can't fully get on board with for some reason.
Sweet. So if you had to pick one, if they were both going like, I don't know, 110, 111 or something like that, and you had the 110, who are you picking?
I mean, landing spot obviously will matter. They'll probably have the same DC, but right now I'd probably go Worthy.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like one of those things. It's one of those where I think he possesses an elite trait, and I don't know if AD possesses an elite trait. And I think they're both very skilled route runners, maybe not at the same level, but very close and enough to where you know, I think they're both good enough receivers, which really matters. Like, you need to be, you can't just be an athlete. You need to be a technically sound receiver. And both of these guys exhibit enough nuance, I think, in their game too, where I'll just edge it out with the dynamic ability that Xavier Worthy possesses.
Let's hop into some trades before we get out of here.
Let's do it.
All right. Treylon Burks for an early third.
I forgot what the Discord discussion was. This came from our Discord. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm going Treylon Burks there. Former first round pick. I'll take the shot. Like, I know that the odds are definitely not in his favor. The team isn't great, but he had the asthma rookie year, injury marred second year. I was reading about it. The knee injury absolutely devastated him, and he seemingly feels a lot better. Has a pretty good head on his shoulders. The coaches like him. That stuff doesn't always matter, but for a third round pick, I think I'll take the shot.
Yeah, I agree. He was my wide receiver one, I believe, in that draft. So Baker Mayfield for the 112.
This just got done in DU1. This was between me and Ben.
Yep.
And I think this is a fair deal anyway, but for me, I needed a quarterback. I really only have Dak Prescott at this point, and my team, I think, has some life left in it to compete with some of the moves I've made. I won the ship two years ago, and I think the 112 for Baker is fair in that situation.
I think that's pretty much, I think that's what he's worth. I think he's, especially knowing he got a contract for 3 years, which means he's probably going to play there for at least two, unless he, like, I don't know, comes out and there he starts the season 0-6 or some shit and Kyle Trask is throwing the ball. But I just don't see that happening. I believe Baker Mayfield's going to get you your, QB 15 to QB 18 weeks every week for the next couple of years. And for me, all day, that's worth the 112. So I don't think anybody won this trade. I think it's team dependent, and I think it's a fair deal. Good job, Ben.
I think good job, Ben.
Well, both of you guys, but Ben.
I know, I love it. I love it. Yeah, just taking shots.
He's trying to rake me over the goals.
I think Paul would tell you that I should just trade for Sam Darnold or something and get the same production. But to me, he's because I think Baker's 16 points per game type deal, which is fairly
QB 17
and fairly replaceable. But I do think that there's something to be said for, when you don't have a QB2 and having some stability there. I think the 112 is really not that much to pay for that.
Sam Darnold even had a QB2 finish to a week, not even a season. I know he hasn't had one in a season.
Maybe that one season, but I don't know.
No Darnold for me, thank you. No, I like this. I like this a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I'll regret this too much over the next couple of years.
All right, this one's a good one. Waddle, DK, Eckler for London, Pickens, and Isaiah Likely.
I mean, this deal didn't happen.
Okay, I take the London, Pickens, Likely. Shoot.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Don't question yourself. Don't second guess.
That's my first thought.
Especially with, this was before Deontay left town, but especially with Deontay leaving town, I think. Yeah. Well, clearly you think he's absolutely washed. It's funny. I got sent this offer and then I got told that London was no sure thing. And I'm like, so wait, why are you buying?
So why are you trying to pick him? I hate that.
Come on, my guy. So,
I wouldn't give up London and Pickens. For Waddle and DK.
No way. I mean, right now. London, potential wide receiver one, I think top 10 dynasty wide receiver, top 10 finish within the range of outcomes. While Waddle can definitely do that, we've seen him have, I think, maybe a wide receiver 7 finish or something like that. Just the situations are so wildly different now with, Kirk Cousins, the stability and what we've seen that he brings to wide receiver ones. And I think with how the target share is going to kind of shake out, he's going to be awesome. So, I like Waddle too, but I think finally we're getting what we need out of Pickens here, or what we want for Pickens. I mean, London, sorry. Pickens happens to just, get an extra value boost from this Deontay deal. But yeah, that one's a kind of an easy one for me, but I do think that, some people could look at it and be like, I take Waddle maybe.
Sure. I mean, I had me second guessing for a second, but all right. Last one, Drake London, Devonta Smith, 25 first, according to the seller, it's likely 116, so it's supposed to be a 16 team league, which is good on you. I've never done that yet, but so yeah, London, Devontae, and 25 late first for Justin Jefferson.
I like how he put 116-25. Like, he's definitely going to win the championship. I love that.
No, I love it. I mean, his team's pretty sweet. I think this was from our buddy in the Discord, Ethan. For Justin Jefferson, like, I think finally I had mentioned this on Twitter a little bit. Like, I think that Justin Jefferson might actually be acquirable now. The Justin Jefferson owners might actually be willing to move off him now for less than like your firstborn. So I think that this is showing us that there is a window to go out there and get Justin Jefferson. Because I'm not scared about it at all. Like, I think Justin Jefferson's going to be fine. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, a 1,600-yard receiver anymore. I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. But the kid's really, really good. And it's going to be very hard to get him before this news. So what do you think?
I mean, I advocated for this deal, you know, when he came into the Discord. I think I said, like, yeah, probably London, Devonta, and a first. I think it's a 24 first, but he happens to have like the 101 as well, and it's not his pick. He has somebody else's, and it's a 101. So you obviously wouldn't do that. He's in an amazing position, obviously, being able to get it's a one QB league. So being able to add Marvin Harrison to this team as well. But yeah, I mean, obviously you're concerned, like I'm talking about, I moved Justin Jefferson down a little bit, but good QB play can change that fast. So, you know, middle of this year, we'll see kind of where we're at with Justin Jefferson. One way or another, I think you want to acquire the wide receiver 3. Who's super young, whose QB situation will get right eventually, whether it's on this team, on another team, it doesn't really matter. I think he'll always be the better wide receiver, the better asset, the better dynasty asset than the 3 combined assets on the other side of this. So I love Justin Jefferson.
And Justin Jefferson did just fine when Kirk hurt his Achilles. Like, he's a stud. So I think this is pretty bold trade to make, but I think Ethan did the right thing here. I'd be stoked to wake up with Justin Jefferson on my team.
I mean, I'm pretty sure his team has like Amon-Ra, Chase, Jefferson. Yeah, like it has, it's like good. It had Bijan, Gibbs. Like the team's absolutely stacked, and he built a juggernaut. And I'm pretty sure he's done it over the last couple of years along with us. And it's been pretty cool watching him build it. So yeah, I love that trade for him. Yeah, I think that's all we got. I'm absolutely wiped from that frenzy. Holy crap, that was insane.
Yeah, it was hard to keep up with, but it's been fun. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
So we did ask the Discord for, you know, mailbag questions. They came through with a bunch of good ones. They actually weren't like time sensitive, so we could push them to next week with like all the free agency news. We figured we would save that for another episode. So yeah, look out for that next week if you know, throw any questions into the Discord. We will definitely be hitting on them on our next episode.
All right. With that, everybody, please give us a follow on the Twitter box, Dynasty Underdog, at Uri Dawkins, at Willie Beeman, DFF. Join our Discord. It's free. It's fun. Always in there. We got some new members in there. It's always pretty active. Billy's doing a really good job with the YouTube. It looks professional. It's better than I could ever do, so I'm pretty proud of what he's done over there. You should check it out. Absolutely check it out. Subscribe even if you don't watch. And then if you could listen to us on Spotify, that'd be sweet. Other than that, y'all have a good night.
Dogs in the yard, might need a guard. Every loss, taken to heart. Me first, that cannot be. Must be these underdog episodes, see? Feeling much better, so suddenly. Under the moniker, Monica G. Crafted at night, while all of them sleep. I won't look a fool, taking this tool. Defeating the opposition around me. No, I'm not sorry. Yes, I'm taking this knowledge imparted. Just barking, no harm, don't be startled. Yes, I'm taking the title, and it's so vital. Thanks for the ride, I'll never be idle. Turn up the dial, it's about to get wild. And the points gon' pile up.
Dynasty underdog fight down, up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now. Dynasty underdog fight down, up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now.